Welcome, everyone. My name is Joel Baker, and I'm the Chief Investment Officer here at IAIC. And today with me is Mike Williams, a fellow portfolio manager. And for those that don't know, Mike's very, very well versed in this topic of taxation, everyone's favorite topic. And quite frankly, he actually holds a master's degree in tax. So many of our accountants would envy you for that, Mike. So congratulations on that. But first off, welcome, Mike.
Thanks, Joel.
And Mike, as you know, the fourth quarter is a very key time of year for us as portfolio managers here at IIC. So really today is for you and I to have a friendly chat or a, you can almost say a fire chat without the fire. And it's really just to kind of review some of those things we do here at IIC as that fourth quarter all important rebalancing or review of the client portfolio. So in other words, just some of those year-end items that we do maybe behind the scenes that maybe clients assume that happens with their portfolio managers, but as you know, I think many times in our new client relationships, that's just simply not happening. So here at ISE, you know, we always joke that we probably don't beat our chests well enough to sort of, you know, talk about these sorts of items that do happen. So really that's what we're doing here today, Mike, is just walking through some of those. And at the end of the day, we're simply being proactive in terms of making some of these year-end necessary adjustments. And really it's just to simply mitigate any sort of taxes payable from that investment perspective. You know, many times it's not the case that that happens. And, you know, clients unfortunately find out in April what really should have happened several months ago. And as many clients have heard me say, we really don't want to write a check any more than we have to Ottawa. So this is absolutely important in terms of, you know, factoring into the investment strategy and some of those year-end adjustments. So what do we mean exactly? So for those that don't know, in the fourth quarter, we reach out to our network of professionals. So both the accounting staff and even our financial planners, with a year-to-date summary as of those capital gains that we're looking at, or even capital losses. And really what we're looking at is any sort of input from those professionals in terms of helping us be proactive in that tax planning, especially for the year end. So it could be anything from some sort of an income threshold perspective, any sort of an outside things going on that are important to us as portfolio managers. It could be some capital gains triggered or even capital losses. And at the end of the day, probably the most key one is any sort of carry forward information from our clients' tax returns. And many times they're not aware of anything. You know, quite frankly, it's many times there's no real input that we sort of factor into the year-end rebalance, but it really only takes that one example where if a client does have that material thing happening outside, that it shows how important that step really is. So it really is, it makes the whole exercise worthwhile when you come across those real life examples.
You make a great point, Joel, about reaching out to the financial planners and the accountants. This is basically leveraging our network of partners who work together with the goal of providing better outcomes for our clients. Having access to and communicating between the portfolio manager, the financial planner, and in many cases, the accountant is really our value proposition. It ensures that we understand the impact of our actions that we have taken throughout the year and what we can do prior to year end to mitigate taxes and help our clients work towards their overall objectives.
No, I agree, Mike. That's a great point for sure. And you know, one of the key ones is this topic out there, Mike, called tax loss harvesting. And so given your background of taxes and your knowledge of tax rates, maybe I'll get you to explain, you know, what that is exactly, Mike, and how is it advantageous to us as portfolio managers when we're looking at client portfolios?
Sure. Okay, well, first, it's important to understand that capital losses can only be used to offset capital gains. They cannot be used to offset any other form of income. Now, if there are no capital gains generated in that tax year, any loss crystallized by the sale of an asset, a stock, or a bond may be carried back 3 years or carried forward indefinitely. Now, the loss carryback provisions of the Income Tax Act allow us to recover the taxes that we may have paid on capital gains over the prior 3 years. Now, one could argue by selling an asset, you may actually be sacrificing the potential gain it will realize if that value does indeed recover. And CRA does prevent us from just selling the asset and buying it back immediately. In fact, if we buy back the same asset within 30 days, something called superficial loss rules will apply and the loss will be disallowed. However, One strategy we can use is to purchase what we call a proxy for the asset that we've sold. For example, if we sell a position in a Canadian bank that we currently hold that may be underwater, in other words, down from the price that we paid, and we want to continue to maintain our exposure to Canadian banks, even over the next 30 days that we're disallowed from buying back the original holding, we may want to do this through the purchase of what we call a proxy. Now, what is a proxy? In general terms, macroeconomic factors that push up or down the price of stocks in a particular industry have an effect in general on all stocks that are a part of that industry. So, for example, if we sell the bank in Nova Scotia to crystallize a loss before year end, we may want to use the proceeds to purchase a similar but different stock, such as the Royal Bank or the TD Bank, to maintain our exposure to Canadian banking. This is what we would consider. TD Bank and Royal Bank would be considered a proxy for the Bank of Nova Scotia and continue to provide us with that exposure that we desire, despite the fact we've crystallized that loss that we're able to utilize.
Well, that's a great point, Mike. And even case in point, Bank of Nova Scotia is a bank that might be down this year, where the other two are stronger. So that's a great example. And it also kind of goes to show that it's not just a particular point in time consideration here. There's some moving parts from other years that factor into the strategy as well. So that's a great point. So Mike, I can't help but ask, like, I'll maybe just let you keep going with this. 2023 is probably a good year for this. Can you explain why?
Well, I think we can all appreciate nobody likes to lose money at any time, but the realities of investing in the market is there's never a straight and smooth upward climb in achieving one's goals and getting to the point where you want to be. Markets themselves are volatile and often pull back after advancing. But, you know, we like to say there's a silver lining in a year such as that we've just seen, or we've seen a pullback. Particularly when we factor in the impact rising interest rates have had on what's generally a safe area, the fixed income portion of our portfolios. And when we see this, there may be opportunities in a year, such as 2023, or if I look back 2008, where we had the financial crisis, where we have a major pullback, where we have any kind of losses incurred, we have an opportunity to offset any crystal gains we may have crystallized throughout the year. Or as we mentioned, we can go back up to 3 years and recover taxes previously paid. Now, you know, it's kind of in the rearview mirror right now, but we did have a significant pullback in March of 2020 in response to the outbreak of COVID, which was quickly followed by a recovery and some strong years in the market. 2021 ended up actually quite strong, in fact. Now, some clients may also have crystallized capital gains on other assets that they hold. For example, if they owned vacation property, they owned a rental property, you know, we can all recall that 2021 and 22 saw a significant spike in the price of Canadian real estate. So some of our clients may have taken advantage of that and sold properties outside of the portfolio that they hold with IAC and realized capital gains that they paid tax on in those years. So there's an opportunity to look at the portfolio, see if we can harvest some losses, carry them back, and either offset some of the actions that we've taken in the portfolio or some of the other capital gains that the client may have crystallized outside of IAC.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Mike. And maybe just to reemphasize, is any sort of capital loss that we trigger, just as you said, it's not really a great thing to trigger losses. But if we can apply that against a dollar of tax already paid, it's a win-win for the client for sure. So, but important thing to keep in mind is that we simply don't trigger losses for the sake of doing so. In other words, we don't really let the tax tail wag the investment dog, to use that phrase. So it has to make sense from an investment perspective also. So tax planning is important, but investment thesis is also very important. So that's worth mentioning in terms of, you know, implementing this fourth quarter strategy. And last but not least, it's an important exercise to align the portfolio for the coming year. Obviously, that's a fresh new start, a fresh new year, a fresh strategy to look forward with in terms of an investment outlook. So it's a good exercise to also align the portfolios for that exercise as well. So thank you, Mike, for joining us today. Thanks, folks, for listening us on here today. And if you have any questions that come to mind in this sort of topic, feel free to reach out to your portfolio manager or your team of professionals, and we'll get your questions answered.
Okay, thanks, Joel.
Thank you.